Good evening, Morro Bay. This is the Wednesday, August 21st meeting of the PWAB, and I'd like to state that there are three members missing: the chair, Rick Deschler, the vice chair, Jan Goldman, and Chris Erlinson. I'd like to go ahead and say we do have a quorum with four, and I'd like to ask for a moment of silence. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay. Is there any announcements or presentations anybody up on the board wish to bring up?
Sure. I wanted to find out, what is the process for finding funding for pedestrian bridges on Main Street? I know that the bridge which crosses Morro Creek gets really interesting when two people try to walk opposite directions, and you also have the same sort of condition there. Was it Anpaul?
Alvapaul Creek just south of Island.
Yeah.
There's a narrow bridge there. There's a narrow bridge on Main Street just south of Errol.
That's Morro Creek.
Crossing Morro Creek there. And then on Beachcomber, another collector street. There's another narrow bridge there.
Cars don't drive at 45 miles an hour at that spot there, so it's not quite as... When I take a walk into downtown or whatever, it gets... Those two spots there, I really have to be aware of what's going on there. And every so often, I'm past a couple was in their 70s or something like that, and they were toddling along kind of down the bike lane, sort of. And It was just there really isn't a place for pedestrians to walk to downtown from North Morro Bay.
Yeah, one source of funding would be through the state's ATP program, Alternative Transportation Program, for pedestrian improvements. Another spot would be the bridge rehab program, but that mainly goes to bridges on the highway system. Rather than bridges on local, and then local funds could be used for bridge replacements, or I guess as an alternative, you could build a pedestrian bridge right next to the existing structure.
Yeah, I assume it'd be some sort of prefabricated drop-on.
Yeah. Although those are probably of the vintage, where if we're going to spend that much money, we should look at the structures. We have them. Caltrans does a bridge inspection of the Main Street Morro Creek Bridge once every 2 years, and I believe the only deficiency they found this year was some efflorescence in the concrete.
It's not structural. It's just the fact that if people going for a walk there, people don't slow down. I mean, they go over the speed limit the whole bit. So
yeah, I use those bridges almost every day when I go for a bike ride and notice them. One thing they've never been brought up as part of the pedestrian bicycle plan, they weren't addressed in there. Went back and looked at that, and they're not in our current draft of the circulation element as deficient pedestrian or bicycling deficiencies there, so we should probably, at least get them in our planning documents.
Appreciate it. All right, thanks.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and open it up for the public comment period. This is for the items that are not on the agenda in which you wish to speak, and if you do come up, please sign the paper with your name, please.
Good afternoon, members of the board. Walter Heath, resident of Morro Bay. And thanks for the opportunity to speak today. I just want to give you a brief update on what's up with Morro Bay and Bloom these days. And I just wanted to say we started recording volunteer hours because grant applications frequently request that information. So we started doing this, and we're quite surprised to learn that in June our volunteers donated 428 and a half hours in June and 420 hours in July. We're on pace to do something similar in August. And the group activities, the on-site coordinator records the names of the volunteers and the hours. Solo gardening activities such as caring for the planter boxes, the volunteers self-report. So there's a tendency that even though they might be overestimating their hours, there's probably under-reporting going on because I don't get hours from everybody. So that I think it's pretty remarkable. Our current gardening sites are the Morro Bay Boulevard Roundabout, and there are 10 planting beds there, the Visitor Center, Chamber of Commerce, the Downtown Planter Boxes, Centennial Parkway, which is the large chessboard plaza, the corner of Beach and Front Streets near Stack's Wine Bar, and that includes the bronze truck bench seat, memorial to Nick Howell, the perimeter of the parking lot adjacent to Coleman Beach where people push off on the stand-up paddle boarding, and we do some partial work at the bike park, some partial work at the library, and I had this in an email to you. The one I missed is that we have a volunteer crew that waters 25 street trees on a regular basis. So we're pleased to be doing this work. And very much appreciate our relationship with the Public Works maintenance staff. And they're just super. So things are kind of going along well, and we're pleased. We're always looking for more volunteers. We're going to be at Centennial Parkway this Saturday between 9 and 11. People can feel free to come by whenever they feel like it. There's no obligation to come on a regular basis. So this Saturday, which will be, what is that, the 24th, we'll be at Centennial Parkway, and we meet at the large chessboard plaza. Thank you.
Thank you, Walter. And I want to say I walk this city quite a bit in downtown Morro Bay, and I go by the roundabout. And you guys have done an excellent job there in front of the Sinclair gas station, I think is where you've been hitting it pretty hard lately. And it looks very nice.
Thanks. It's a beast, and probably a little bit more than, you know, we could normally take on, you know, because we want to make sure that we're accomplishing something in 2 hours. So for volunteer retention, we don't want people to feel like, oh, my gosh, you know, we're never going to get this into a spot where we like it. But we're making real progress there, and I appreciate the kind words. Thanks.
Yeah, I was wondering, does Sinclair donate anything? I mean, you did an excellent job out in front.
Well,
of
you know, in that particular instance, it's in such a high. Normally, we don't do anything that's on private property.
Right.
That over time has had, you know, some public easements on it. The Dino Patch in particular.
Oh.
But in that particular instance, the gas station owner paid for all the plants.
Oh wow! Okay.
And
I appreciate.
And installed irrigation too, which is huge. Oh. And in the case of the Dino Patch. They put down 4 ounce geotextile weed control fabric, which is amazing stuff. It's a spun fabric. It's available in 4 ounce and 8 ounce, and the 8 ounce version is actually spec'd by Caltrans wherever they do asphalt work now, because it reduces the amount of potholes. The 8 ounce fabric is super supportive. I found that when we were kind of overlapping the 4 ounce to put, and because I helped the contractor install that fabric, when you overlap the 4 ounce, you're forming 8 ounce at that point. Very difficult to drive a 6-inch irrigation staple through with a hammer. It's incredibly supportive stuff.
But you actually laid the wood chips and all. I think I saw your group out there
spreading
the chips.
Right. Terry Simons was paid to do the grading work, and I helped him put down the weed control fabric because we didn't want it to blow away like a parasail over the roundabout. And then Terry installed the drip irrigation system, and then what we did is we came in and we made the little slices in the fabric where the emitters were for the holes, and dug out the holes, installed the plants. The prep work was so good on before we installed the plants that it took us 30 minutes to put in 101 roses. We had such a sizable crew, which is just how we like it, you know, and got them all planted. And so they're under drip irrigation. We've been doing a little bit of extra watering from time to time to make sure the plants get established. They're going to be amazing. It's a red ground cover rose with that green dinosaur. It really is going to look fabulous.
Well, thank you again, Walter.
You bet. We're enjoying it. Thanks.
Yeah, and if I could I make a comment, too? I really, Mr. Heath, I appreciate what you're doing and the Morro Bay and Bloom folks doing like that. I want to encourage you, and I'm kind of interested in the data that you're collecting just in terms of the effort time spent by volunteers as well as possibly even expenses, not to get too detailed about it, but I'd like to see a summary accounting of volunteer effort throughout Morro Bay by various groups, and just to sort of add it into the overall sort of city budget in a way, not officially added into the budget, but sort of look at it as an extension to, you know, what it takes to maintain the land and beauty of Morro Bay here. So I think it's a good start what you're doing. I've also myself volunteered with a nonprofit in Atascadero doing trail building and maintenance of the new open space park there, the Three Bridges Oak Preserve, through the Atascadero Land Preservation Society, ALPS, just as a kind of a legacy of my parents having lived in Atascadero. But I think there's so many volunteer groups, and I know there's a group doing trail maintenance in Antonio de Oro and that kind of thing, that bringing more explicit awareness to the amount of time and number of people involved makes that effort helps people understand what it takes to make a better livable city.
Well, thanks. I'm certain that we're just a small cog in the large wheel of volunteerism that keeps Morro Bay going. We're just filling in gaps, basically, you know, where Public Works is working constantly with the very, you know, the small crew they have. You know the situation. And we're just trying to add that little bit of beauty that, you know, that we want to see in the town. But, you know, basically we're just filling in gaps where an amazing effort already exists on the part of their maintenance staff.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Thank you,
Walter. I've got a comment for you, too.
Yes.
It would be good to see a sign out there or something that says Morro Bay and Bloom doing what you're doing and so on. And that's a way to stimulate, I would imagine, other people.
That's a great idea.
To get in there and help you.
Yeah, we have a banner that we put out while we're working that has the phone number and said join us, but it isn't always out there if we don't think of it. You know, if we just kind of get into it and start doing it, that banner won't be out. But most of the time we've got like a 10-foot banner that we put out that say, you know, come and join us, and it has the phone number on there where people can call. Thank you, Stu.
Thank you, Walter. Is anybody else from the public wish to speak on something not on the agenda? Okay, moving on. We'll come to the consent calendar. There's actually two in play here. It's approval for the June 19 minutes and the approval for the July 17 minutes. We'll start with the June 19 minutes. Anybody have any questions or concerns of what's on the minutes? Could I get a motion to approve?
I motion we approve the June 19 minutes.
I second the motion.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay. Now we'll go for the July 17th meeting. And again, is there anything anybody saw? Okay, go ahead.
I wasn't able to make that meeting, so you might want to adjust the present.
Okay. Can I? Anybody else have anything to add?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that it's good to get out in the bus and get around and see actually what's going on and who's doing what and so on. That's reassuring for us. And
I think for Tori, it was probably the first time you've been on it. So.
Yeah.
That's correct.
As part of PWAB, maybe. Or, yeah. In any case, could I get a motion?
I move that we approve the minutes. For
a second?
I'll second it.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay. So we're going to move on to the first item on the business items, and that's the director's report. I'll go ahead and turn it over to Rob now.
Thank you, Mr. Acting Chair. Steve, director's report this year, have a couple of items that I wanted to highlight, especially while Walter's here, as part of the call for projects. We're looking at awarding $5,000 that the City Council set aside in the budget for these beautification projects, $4,000 to Morro Bay and Bloom for their winter holiday themed downtown planter box, and their also their spring summer themed downtown planter box, so their planter box program, and then to Morro Bay Beautiful, they're working on working with some business owners to replace the wine barrel planters out in front of businesses, and up to $1,000 for that project. So thank you for Morro Bay Bloom and Morro Bay Beautiful for making those applications, and we're happy to make that money available through our council to those projects. The city has recently reapplied for its bicycle friendly community status, and as part of this director's report, and hope to get it up on the website as soon as I tell Janine to, because I keep forgetting, but she's listening to me right now, go ahead, and if you have the time to answer the few questions in from the League of American Bicyclists on cycling in Morro Bay. So there's a link in the director's report. If you look, go to the electronic version, it's, I think, in the second to the last page or near the end of the director's report, page 21 of the PDF. Has that link for that questionnaire. This fall, the league will be making those awards, and we'd like to at least maintain our bronze status as a bicycle-friendly community. I know I enjoy it. I get out almost on a daily basis to cycle around the area, and like to encourage anybody. In fact, we have an on-again, off-again, and a 5 o'clock bike ride leaving from City Hall. And if anybody's interested in riding about 20-ish miles, give me a call or an email, and we'll go for add you to our list, and we'll go for a ride. With that, we're here to answer any of your questions that you might have on the report.
Well, I'll start down here with you, Stu.
Do I have any questions?
Yes.
I just have a bunch of comments, perhaps questions. I believe that the city is doing a fantastic job with many, many elements of what's happening in our city, and we've got a unique group here that really care about what's happening and pushing along and so on. There's a lot to deal with the state and with local governmental agencies and so on, yet we seem to push ahead and make Morro Bay shine, and it really makes me feel good, you know, being here and seeing all that happening, and that's my comment.
Oh, okay. And you, John?
Yeah, I've got a few things. Page 5. I was curious, what's the difference between pavement replace or repair and dig out? Yeah, I just was going through the thing there, and I just realized that it wasn't clear in my head what you were trying to get at.
I think there's little to no difference in what you're seeing there. It's the way the electronic system was set up initially.
Mm-hmm.
And if we were to change things now, we're going to lose some data, or it'll be hidden in the background. At least that's what I understand from our specialist, our consultant. So it will remain. We might come up to a point in time when we can combine those or somehow not lose the data by changing the name or deleting the name.
Okay. All right.
Good catch.
And I see that you've got about 50 digouts identified and 46 replace and repair identified for outstanding requests. Are you saving those for the pavement project?
No, those are be completely outside of the pavement project. This is consolidated maintenance. The pavement project will be run through engineering and capital projects.
Okay. Yeah, I was just thinking I understood that you were going to go in and repair pavement before they went out and did the seals. Is that the plan?
We will definitely, I mean, Rob can probably speak to this better than I can, but we're going to try to stay out ahead of some of those streets that will be scheduled for pavement preservation to fix some of the major repairs.
Okay.
If we're not able to fix those major repairs, they may not make it on the list for this year, but that's just a possibility. I don't think that list has been developed 100% yet, Rob?
No, this year we're rebooting our pavement management program, so we'll do a complete reassessment of the streets. We have an RFP about ready to go out requesting those services. Once we've reassessed, we'll work with the consultant on running the Street Saver model, and it'll generate a list of streets that the model believes are the ones to work on. The logic in most of these pavement management models are to keep good streets good and kind of let those that have near failure or have failed to don't spend any more money on those, but we know that really doesn't work in Morro Bay because we don't have the resources to do complete reconstruction of those streets that, you know, may need some a little bit more TLC. So Mike's crews do a little bit more patching work, and then we do things like a triple layer cape seal over a severely patched street to try to extend the life of that street.
Okay.
The plan is to have a street preservation work program that does the work. We've experimented trying to be the last on the list, thinking we'd get better bid prices, but we always run up against rain, and these pavement projects stretch on for months. And so we're going to try this year something a little bit different. It also puts us in line for the next round of rubberized asphalt grant to do the project, to do the work in the spring, early summer this year, to be in the lead of the projects that are going out rather than the tail end of the projects that will be going out.
I assume our project is large enough to catch their attention anyway.
I think we will probably have somewhere around, you know, $700,000 worth of pavement preservation work that we'll be looking at doing, sealing. I don't know that we will dedicate a lot of money to reconstruction because it's, you know, even the most expensive sealing project, the triple layer, is under $2 a square foot, and you're talking, you know, 8 to 10 for reconstruction of a street.
How much does that rototilling cost?
Excuse me?
Where do you pulverize and pack it down again?
That was in the about halfway between there, so it was in the $5 a square foot range. But really, they didn't pave on top of that, and I mean, it's held up fairly well for the street that it is.
Mm-hmm.
Not a whole lot of commercial traffic on it, heavy truck vehicles. It is a dead-end street, so it doesn't get a lot of traffic. This year we may look at doing it on a more regularly trafficked street to see if we get the same experience as we did on Panorama.
Okay.
I mean, excuse me, Ponderosa. Yeah.
When you do that, it's just pulverizing it and adding new oil and repacking down, isn't it?
Compaction, basically grinding, recompacting,
yeah.
And then doing a...
Add oil, don't you?
usually do like a triple layer seal on top of that. So you do a slurry followed by a chip, followed by a slurry. So you get about 3/4 of an inch of wear surface. I wouldn't call it structural surface.
This is almost more like an oil and screening as well.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Let's see. So we got that. Let's see. Had a question or a comment. I've noticed that down where I live on Las Vegas and Main Street, that I hadn't noticed that there is a more intense sanitary sewer odor down at that intersection than there was, say, last year. My wife says, with a super sniffer, says it's always been awful, but you know, this is the first year where I've noticed it. Is there a process for figuring out what's causing it? Because would it be the Cayucas sanitary sewer there, or is it something from the city?
They've made some changes, and Joe's going to go over what Cayucas has done to hopefully improve that situation.
Okay.
Yeah, we were made aware of that by numerous citizens that live in that area. And when we went out and investigated it, it is Cayucas' line. We notified Cayucas, and they've been very responsive. They met us out there, and we walked the line together. They have tried different odor masking and treatment type processes up there. They're trying to find a chemical that's a little safer for their employees to use instead of the chemicals that we currently use. So they've been experimenting with different odor type chemicals that they can possibly put in there. They've had limited success, and you know, from my understanding, they went back to their original chemical. So it seems to be getting better.
Okay. The next one is on page 17. He said, you created four new standard operating procedures. You know, from my experience when I was doing my job as a paid employee before, the SOPs was how you kind of made sure you caught everything. What sort of SOPs did you add this time?
To be honest, I can't tell you specifically what we added, but what we've been working on under the treatment plant side is the sludge wasting procedures, you know, how we actually remove solids from our system, how we actually pull the solids out of our digesters to our beds. So we're actually going through basically the more critical procedures. As you know, we're getting in line for a new treatment plant. But right now, a lot of the procedures we're identifying are more safety-related, so we can actually not only document our safety procedures, but give the staff experience writing SOPs for when the new plant comes online.
Okay, sounds good. Let's see, page 19. Let's see, So it says, pavement management, FY19-20 program includes a complete revision to plan to incorporate sealing techniques not anticipated with 2011 management plan. Are we going to get a chance to look at that?
Of course.
Okay.
So like I said, the RFP is about ready to go out. We'll be selecting a pavement consultant, somebody in the, like a PEI, pavement engineering, or one of the other firms in this area that specializes in pavement design. They'll do a, with our staff, street assessment, and then we'll bring that street assessment, probably bring it in several parts back to PWAB, first do the assessment, and then recommendations.
Okay. And then I also had a note here about the pedestrian bridges, which... So you're planning on identifying those as a potential project, which maybe would that be qualified for like the Transportation Commission, or what do you call the money which the county shares for local projects?
The SHA or RSTP. There's various funding pots that we can look to.
Okay.
The thing with regional transportation funding, it's all oversubscribed. There are huge projects in the county that need to be. The 4641Y is several million dollar project. Oak Park interchange project, our own Morro Bay roundabout project is oversubscribed. There's more projects than there is money for right now. Okay. I think we'd have better success looking at some of the more specialty, like the ATP, the Alternative Transportation Program grant application, and those call for projects will be likely in spring of next year for this next round of ATP. And looking at those types of fundings, perhaps the bridge rehab program, although we don't have the traffic that goes over our bridges as some of the other agencies do.
Yeah, the one farther north is, I think those are culverts. It's not a...
I think those are double 4x4 boxes. Okay. There, so we might be something simple. Well, nothing simple once you get into a waterway.
Okay.
But it might be simpler than a spanning structure to add on to those box culverts.
Okay. Well, thank you. This is all I had. Thank you.
Tori, do you have anything?
I don't have any questions about the director's report, but I would like to take this moment just to say how much I enjoyed and felt a great respect and encouragement from last week's city council meeting, that where it was discussed both the local hire initiative for the WERF, or actually the components of the WERF, and then also the consultant to the city on the WERF progress of construction reviewed the quarterly report. And I just would say last week's council meeting, which had a big turnout in the community, union representatives, non-union local contractors, a wide representation in the community about the WERF, that I think we demonstrated a very great process of deliberative democracy here, right, in Morro Bay, and working out some of the issues, which were resolved even that evening, I think, by the City Council in a very measured and successful resolution to some of those issues. So I would just say for this meeting, we could reference last week's City Council meeting in terms of a public works review and part of the process of doing public works, you know, in an open society here like we are in Morro Bay. So.
Thank you, Tori. I only have two things. The first one's on the new water reclamation facility. And that's, you say, the state water resources approved their intended use plan. What does that really mean? Does it mean... It's like you got a 95% confidence level of
something like that. We are recommended for funding of our project through the State Revolving Fund Loan Program for up to $1 million in loan and $5 million in grant.
Okay.
We are probably...
I'm sorry, it's $100 million.
$100 million, dollars. Sorry, yeah, thank you.
There we go.
Not $1 million.
You're not going far.
Yeah. We also are finalizing our loan documents with EPA on the WIFIA loan.
Oh, okay.
The one thing we can probably guarantee is nobody's going to lend us more than we have the ability to pay back.
Right.
So those loans need to coordinate together. So we have to get the right mix of each loan type. Ideally, we would get it all with the lowest interest possible, but likely that's not going to happen. There won't be enough funding for that. So we'll have a mix of EPA federal money, loan money, which is in the neighborhood of, I don't know, it rides on the 25-year state and local government rate, the 25-year slug rate. which took me a while to figure out how to find that number. And it's in the neighborhood of 2.5 to 2.7, but it may be going down with the drop in the 10-year rate.
Yeah, treasury.
And then the SRF funding is, when we applied, it was 1.7. They did a bond sale at 1.3%, so we're looking at probably 1.3% money for their SRF funding. I'll get to the, I guess, the answer to your question. So we still have to make finalize our applications for the state revolving fund loan, and it is a still a competitive process. We need to complete our environmental. We're ahead of the game on that because EPA and the state revolving fund will have the same requirements for environmental, and we had already started that for the EPA loan. So we'll be submitting those loan applications very soon, and hopefully on the higher end of the lower interest money.
Okay, very good. Thank you. And the second thing, this is actually for Damaris Hansen. I was wondering if you'd please care to come up and elaborate about the creek to coast cleanup, because we see it in our packet, but then really you want the public's involvement.
Yeah, so every year the Coastal Commission actually puts on the coastal cleanup. This year we've expanded it to creeks to coast cleanup. So it's all inland creeks. EcoSlo hosts it in our area here. So it's going to cover a lot more areas. I think there's 7 or 8 spots in just Morro Bay alone. So if you want to volunteer, it's on Saturday, September 21st, and it's in the morning, and they have the link on there is actually a little volunteer link. You can go in and sign up for whatever site you want, because they do limit some of the sites, because everyone wants to go to Avila, then there's too many at Avila.
If they are interested, if they go to the City of Morro Bay's website, will they see this link?
I will be putting it on the website there, and we'll be doing some Facebook posts and stuff like that. I just don't want to do it too early.
Better than a month out. So.
You don't have to go up and sign up there. You can just show up to any site at the time and, you know, sign a little waiver at that time and help pick up trash.
Okay. Very good. Thank you, Damaris. Does anybody have anything else regarding the director's report? We'll go ahead and accept it as stated. We're going to move on to agenda item B2, and that's regarding the City Park Transit Hub Improvement Study. We talked about this in an earlier meeting, and they've come back now with the actual report. And I'll turn this over to Janine, to Burlingame, to give us a rundown.
Thank you and good evening. As you mentioned, we did have the City Park Transit Hub Improvement Study that has been under development. And at the tour that we did last month, we had gone out to the City Park site so that you could get a chance to see what that looked like if you hadn't been out there. And see the existing shelter, which was constructed in the early 80s and really hasn't seen any type of improvements or upgrades or updates to it since then. So it's about time to do that, as the useful life for that shelter has, we're nearing that time. And last year we had received a Rural Transit Fund grant in the amount of $30,000 to conduct the study. And what the study was going to do was going to take a look at and identify who are the existing users and the type of usage at that stop, and then evaluate the existing amenities and shelter and pull-in, pull-out area to see if there's any deficiencies or areas for improvement. And then it also identified projects and improvements that could be done over a course of time. And then lastly, it looked at 3 different locations around the park to see, with those improvements, what that might look like, and do a cost estimate for that, as well as identifying any advantages or disadvantages to each of those. And The three locations that were looked at is the existing location, which is on the northwest corner of City Park, and what's called existing. And the second location was what we were terming the eastern location on Harbor Street, and that's at that northeast portion where the park narrows as you're approaching Morro Bay Boulevard and is the gateway, kind of the gateway into Morro Bay. And then the other site that was looked at was the Morro Bay Boulevard side. And we have an attachment too. We have those site locations. And what we have done is, so basically let me back up. So we have, not only is our local transit service, our year-round deviated fixed route service, and our seasonal trolley service utilize this location, it's also the connection point to the regional transit system that comes into Morro Bay and travels further on north up towards San Simeon, travels into Los Osos, and then back into San Luis Obispo. And we also have the school district who uses it six times a day for picking up school children in the mornings and in the afternoons, dropping them back off. Mm. In addition to that, the park also has individual groups who may utilize it and get public area use permits. And what we wanted to do was make sure that we weren't going to be interfering either with the park itself too much, as well as those individuals who might be utilizing the park. So we know that Art in the Park is one of the most physically intensive users of the park, and so we didn't want to do any major disruption to that. So when we were doing the study, when we were looking at the three different site options, we wanted to do an overlay of their booth layout to see what kind of impact there might be. Would there be any booths that needed to be and could be relocated, or would there be any that would have to end up being removed, and therefore they would also be losing out on revenue for those particular booth losses. And so in attachment two, you have three of those three site locations identified. In addition, we listed what the advantages and disadvantages for that location, and particularly noted if there was a particular disadvantage for Art in the Park and any booth lossage in there. And so when we got a draft of the study and those initial site locations from the consultant, we met with Art in the Park. We've met about three different times and had discussions for those different locations. And if there were any kind of, if there were particular ones that were going to look like be kicked out because there's too many disadvantages, if there was some other location that might work out, and we came up with a couple of other potential locations, one that was in the middle of the existing and eastern, what we were kind of calling the center or middle Harbor Street side, and then another one that Art in the Park had proposed as a potential option to look at, which we're calling the playground side. And that's to the furthest northwest portion, so it would be further west of the existing site. And when we looked at both of those, the middle section option still had too many deficiencies and too much booth lossage for Art in the Park, so that we weren't going to be looking at any further. And then the playground side didn't have any real significant impacts to Art in the Park, but we did have some other issues that came up as far as having some additional expenditures with having to move playground structures that were not going to be a portion of any of the other locations that were being looked at, as well as some irrigation equipment and mainline areas that would need to be moved. In addition to that, there's the potential for a, I think it's a Proposition 68 grant fund in next year's cycle that would, we would need to be evaluating the park area, the playground area and the restroom area for a potential project with that. So we didn't want to cut into that space in case that might impact what options we may have for some projects for that grant cycle. So it came back to the taking a look at the existing site. And with that, it's contained within the existing footprint. There's not too many disadvantages. It takes care of issues with the site visibility between the driver and the passengers who are waiting in the shelter. It would also provide, it would address some of the ADA issues for the sidewalk, for the wheelchair loading and unloading. So, and it's also a site location that Art in the Park could support as well. So as far as improvements, if you look on page 26 of the agenda packet, there was a number of improvements that the consultant had come up with, some of which are not being included for a near-term project on page 26, because there may be some additional evaluation that needs to be done. So, for example, the driver staff area, break area, and restroom area that's separate from the public area, that's something that might be evaluated more closely with that Proposition 68 grant fund to see if that's something that might work there or not, as well as spacing and funding for that. In addition, something like the ticketing booth for the regional transit passes and regional passes, they're not ready to have that go online at the moment, but we do want to make sure that we have space in the existing spot that we're going to be looking at and recommending, and make sure that we have space there for that in the future. So what staff is recommending for the improvements for this near-term project is to increase the curb space for the vehicle pull-in, pull-out. What that would mean is that we would be utilizing the existing space we have now, but we would see one loss of parking space. But this is on a side that's not on, say, like on Morro Bay Boulevard side, where you have businesses that utilize that space. This is on the other side, where we mainly have people who are parking there for like kind of a park and ride situation, and there's other spaces where they can park for that. So that's one. We are going to increase the wheelchair loading and unloading area so that we will be meeting the ADA requirements for the needed space for that. We will be replacing the passenger shelter, increase the passenger waiting space as well as benches to accommodate for the amount of passengers that we would have at the peak amount of times. We would also be installing new bike racks and a bike tool station. We would have eventually install a real-time bus information display. Something similar, if you've been in downtown San Luis Obispo, Slow Transit has an information display that shows when the next Slow Transit bus is going to be arriving. So that gives passengers an idea of how long the wait might be. In addition, we'd be including that space for a future ticket vending machine, and then we would be doing some electrical upgrades in anticipation of future electric buses, battery electric buses, that the California Air Resources Board, we have a mandate by 2029 for everyone, and 2026, I think, for the regional, for the larger agencies, to have their buses be converted to electric. And there would need to be some charging stations throughout the county that would need to happen in order for the regional buses to be able to do their routes for the full day on those charges. So this would be anticipation and start to provide some conduit and a box for that, and then the actual charging and infrastructure would be identified at a later date and would be a separate project that we would the regional system would have to be getting some funding for, and we would work with them on that. So as you can see in attachment to the existing location, that is being recommended, that site, The cost estimate for that is $382,629. And we have broken that down into a couple of phases. The funding that is available, transportation transit funding that's available that we would be applying for would be the state of good repair. There is a discretionary pot of funding that we compete regionally with other agencies for, and that would be the bulk of the funding. In addition, there is a rural transit fund grant that is an annual grant from the Council of Governments that we compete for with the regional system. And then we would also be putting in some of our own local transit funds that we get from the state for our transit program as our kind of our local match, our local skin in the game, as well as our $490 state of good repair operator apportionment. So we broke the project down into two phases, and in February of this year, we applied for that first phase funding. The first phase activities were the pre-development planning, engineering, the construction specifications, and some initial frontage improvements. And we were awarded in June about a little over $193,000 of the State of Good Repair discretionary funds. And then the city intends to next year in that funding cycle and the Rural Transit Fund funding cycle to apply for the remaining amount that would be needed to fully fund the project with the transit grants and not needing to look for any funding from the general fund for the project. If the city is successful in next year's funding cycle, we would know by June of next year, 2020, that we would be fully funded and can continue to move towards construction. If not, then we would wait another year until 2021 when the next grant funding cycle would occur, and we would continue to apply at that point until we got full funding. In addition, because Art in the Parks, three events that they have each year are about a little month and a half apart from each other, we don't want to do any construction during that time period and want to make sure that they are done with their season. So we would be looking at some time in the fall, whether it would be 2020 if we're fully funded or 2021 if we're not fully funded until that year. So wanted to make note of that. In the staff report that was originally sent out, attachment 2 had an incorrect item on the eastern location. It had noted that that was a recommended project. It is not a recommended project, and I provided an email with an updated map for that and then updated the agenda packet, but in case you didn't get that before the meeting and saw two recommended site locations and got a little confused. And so staff is recommending that the Public Works Advisory Board review the City Park Transit Hub Improvement Study and recommend the City Council to do three things: to review and accept the Transit Hub Study, to select the existing site option for the vehicle pull-in, pull-out, and passenger shelter area and amenities improvements that were outlined on, I had page 4 of the staff report, but that's before we put the PWAB pages on it. So that would be on page 26 of the staff report. And to direct staff to pursue transportation grants to fully fund improvements outlined on that page as well. So with that, I'd like to turn it over to the board for any questions or comments and a recommendation. I would like to note that Patricia Newton and Steve Powers with Morro Bay Art Association and Art in the Park are here this evening in case you have any questions from them as well.
Thank you, Janine, for your presentation. I'm going to go ahead and start with Tori this time. Any questions you have regarding the presentation? Or the report.
I'm not clear on, you said for the third item to be reviewed by the PWAB here, is the page 26 itemizes some funding?
Correct. The recommended improvements.
But where is page, Which page 26? Oh, on page.
Page 26 of your agenda packet.
Oh, okay, okay, yeah.
And it's at the top of the page.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And it says recommended transit hub improvements. Those are the ones that we're referring to.
My only question really is the existing, is the staff recommending the sawtooth element of the existing site?
No, we asked the consultant to take a look at that to see if there would be enough street width to be able to accommodate something like that, as it's an easier pull in and pull out. And unfortunately, we don't have enough frontage and street space to be able to do that, so that's not being recommended. So okay. The pull in and pull out area would function like it does now. It's just there would be a little bit additional space that would be needed in order to accommodate at a peak period of time with the peak number of buses there, those bus lengths, the bike racks on those buses, and then a space in between for pull out or pull in from one vehicle to another.
Yeah. Okay. I have no questions.
Oh, okay. I'll move to John.
I have a few questions, so what the heck. What do you mean by fully funded?
Fully funded from the transportation grants, so no general funds.
Okay. Is it possible to adjust the scope to allow for, you know, we don't see as much money, but to get things started, is it possible to adjust the work to take advantage of that?
Yeah, the phase one, when we were applying for what we were calling phase one activities, that was going to be kind of that breakdown that you're talking about, so that we have to determine whether there's going to be environmental that needs to be done and a planning permit that needs to be done or a building permit. So we would be able to start that process now with these funds. Also get construction documents once council approves the site location. Start going through that process of developing an RFP, doing an RFP for the consultant that would be doing those construction drawings, and then doing the RFP for the construction itself. And so by the time those activities are completed and we're getting ready for beginning construction, the next funding cycle will be underway. We will have And we should know by then whether we, in 2020, would have that funding available at that point.
So you wouldn't be willing to say, do a third phase if it turns out that not as much money as you hoped for would be available for a second phase?
Once you start construction, it's kind of hard to break up those activities because you're doing the frontage improvements to the sidewalk. You're going to have to take down the shelter and remove those trees. And so all that stuff is kind of, once you're putting that shovel in the ground, all of that stuff needs to be done pretty much at that time.
Is there also a list of things you'll need to do for future work, or is like the setting up the electrical for a ticket kiosk, that's just going to... Well, the reason why I'm saying this is when I used to do my contracts for the federal government, I would have base price, and then I would have a series of options, which I knew I could just say, okay, we got an extra $50,000, let's grab this, or an extra $20,000, we can grab this, and just allow adjusting, you know, our plans for what actually turns out to be available.
Mm-hmm.
And it might be worth your while to look to see what you can
The funding that we have been awarded, we were actually awarded a little bit more in the State of Good Repair discretionary funds than we had applied for. And so the activities, so we would be able to get through those phase one activities that we had broken out. But we can certainly look at, now that we have specific project improvements, specific dollar amount from the State of Good Repair award that we just got, and the cost estimate that we have done for that particular location, we can look and see if there were particular elements like you're talking about that could be pulled in at this point versus waiting till full construction.
Okay. Another question I had is on page 5 of the, or actually it's 27 of 72, you've got a price of $382,629. And then when I take a look at the report there, the preliminary estimate says, like, which one is that?
You're looking in the study?
Yeah, and so the numbers don't seem to...
Yes, and I didn't mention that. I've got a little verbiage in the staff report, but I didn't mention it in the presentation, and I'm sorry. In the study, the cost estimates that are in there are including all of the improvements that the consultant was identifying that could be done at that area. So, for example, the staff driver building for the break area and separate restroom area, that's included in the study in that cost estimate. It's not part of the improvements that we're recommending for this near-term portion. So the cost estimate that's on attachment 2 doesn't include that. So there's a few items that are, like, I think there was also an identification for the art component, and there was a dollar amount for that that we don't have included at this point because that will be coming after construction, or as we're doing construction, we're going to work with the Art Association on identifying what type of art component we want to retain. We have murals on the existing shelter. Those are going to go away, but we didn't want to lose an art component, so we do want to have something with whatever project occurs, whether it be another mural somewhere, whether it be a sculptural piece, but that is to be identified later. So that cost component wasn't included in with the cost estimate on the attachment 2, but is included in with the study.
Do you have a cost estimate for, you know, basically taking that preliminary estimate and rearranging it for the selected items somewhere which could be shared?
Like the detail breakout, like is in the study? We do have that. I don't have that with me, but it's something I can forward to the board.
Okay.
For each of those.
All right. And then let's see. I was looking at the report and didn't see too much in there, which I could. But one question did pop up. They're proposing 4-on-8, and this is more or less for Rob or Bob Wilcox. Is 4-on-8 appropriate for that area of the city? For the anticipated traffic?
I think it's good for estimating purposes. I think once they get into final design and actually get a geotech out there and do our value testing, they can actually do their detailed pavement design. But for that heavy traffic in this area of the city is fairly forgiving as far as underlying soil type, more granular material than is up in the north end, may be appropriate for estimating purposes.
Okay. Yeah, just when I worked for the city of Vacaville, we knew down to almost the block what the expected pavement requirement was going to be for whatever. I mean, it just, you know, we had them do the study, but we knew the soil types to the point where it was more to confirm what we knew than it was to and to make sure that the proper design was. But so your expectation is 4-on-8 is what's been done around there before.
Somewhere near 4/8 will be the final design.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Stu?
Moving forward into the next decade, which is what we're planning for here, I would imagine, and we're going with electric buses and so on. How much ridership do those buses have? Do you have statistics on that?
And the...
I think you showed 20 for the RTA buses and then...
Yeah, on
and
page
then
24.
And then smaller.
That was... That's not the total ridership. So are you looking like daily ridership or?
Oh. Daily ridership, what's going on and what do we need to provide here to make our residents and our visitors happy?
Yeah, that's on page 24, table 1. That's the summary of the different, that's arrival time, different arrivals. I don't have that information on hand. I think that's something that they did talk about in the study and had that information as far as ridership. So when the consultant was looking at the usage and coming up with what would be the potential improvements, so, you know, one is identifying how the length of the buses and the spacing you need in between them and the bike racks on them to determine distance. Same sort of thing. They were looking at how many times a day were each of our services coming in, how many passengers were on that to determine what the peak amount of riders would be. And that's how they were determining for the passenger amenities, like how much bench space that we should have for that. And in table 3 in the study, it shows, let's see, for Morro Bay Transit, daily usage for the fixed route call ride service of 17, with an annual ridership of 2684. The trolleys, you have the North Trolley and the Downtown Trolley that utilize that spot, and that was looking like about 14 a day when they're running in the seasonal time, so a little over about close to 300 annually for the season. And then the RTA is the more intensive transit user of this spot, and Route 12 has a daily ridership of about 302, and Route 15 has about 42 for a total RTA usage of almost 44,000 riders a year.
So it appears that there's quite a bit more capacity than what we're currently using in that vein, and moving them to electric, which we made a comment there about doing that. You're going to have to put in a lot of facility to do that. Yes. They come in, and I imagine the bus just pulls a cable out and plugs it in like you do with cars and
yes.
so on.
Yes, the state California Air Resources Board has a ruling requirement that all the transit agencies are going to have to convert to these battery electric buses by a particular timeline. So the infrastructure is going to need to be identified, what type of infrastructure for that charging, and then getting grant funding and getting those projects in place before we could get buses online. Just of note, the regional system today just had a battery electric bus that is going to be delivered to Fresno, Fresno County Rural Transit. And they were out here in San Luis Obispo, and they did kind of a test ride for RTA and Slow Transit and any other transit agencies who were interested in participating from their city, their yard in Slow, driving up the grade into Santa Margarita and back to see how the vehicle performed as far as charge, to be able to determine could they run a full day on one charge, or are they going to need to have quick charging stations at various locations throughout the county. And what they had determined from the ride that they did today, they could only get 2 loops through with the one charge. So they would either need to have twice the number of vehicles available to be able to operate a full day, or have charging stations set up throughout the region and have some quick charging happen and still be able to just have the one vehicle as opposed to two. So it is, and it was something that when we sent the draft to the RTA, it was something that they had mentioned that was going to be coming up, and that's why one of the project improvements is to have that kind of electrical conduit and box as part of that, in anticipation of once we identify what exactly that's going to be and getting funding for and doing the installation for the rest of the infrastructure, we would have a component of that already in place.
Yes, so if all that does come to pass and we do get these wind turbines going out here and some other wave action and other things generating electricity for us, then we should be very well off with this kind of a setup as long as we plan for energy storage somewhere on it, correct?
Well, and that's what we would need to do is work with the regional transit authority, work with Slow Transit, have a working group, transit working group, since we're all having to come up with something, and identifying what would be the best methodology for operation for those for that infrastructure, so that we're all pursuing the. We're all able to utilize the same infrastructure and not be doing something different.
Good. That's all I have.
Okay. Thank you, Stu. I have a few questions, and the first one is the existing shelter. How many people does that seat right now? About four or five, something like that.
Well, we have. The concrete couch,
yeah.
The art couch.
And an easy chair or something like
there
that.
There are, I can't remember if it's one or two benches that are on the outer portion of it.
Okay.
But in the study, when it was calculating what the peak usage would be and estimating how many riders would be at peak time and how much seating that you would need, there was a deficiency in that regard. So the improvement would be in adding benches to that to on the inside and outside so that we would reach that. I think it's like something
so
like 30.
So you're saying the 30 seats are not necessarily
all
under
inside.
The shelter.
Correct.
Is that correct?
It would be a mix.
Okay. Because for me, do the buses overlap each other where you'll have two or three at the same time in the same spot?
Sometimes okay. You will, yes.
Oh, okay.
And so that's why we needed to have that.
I live real close to it, I do see it's woefully inadequate for the people hanging around there. 30 sounded like a ton, though. I mean, it sounded like, you know, the bus only carries 20 for RTA, and there's only a certain number of people getting on and off. But if you do have multiple, I could see the school children ones a little heavier than the RTA ones. But
yeah,
if we're strictly talking benches and not talking the footprint of a shelter that could house
correct.
That many people, I have less concern with how you're sizing that mm-hmm. facility, so to speak, if it's strictly benches. But do keep in mind it does rain here every once in a while, and everybody's
yes.
going to be standing up inside that thing, you know, if they're waiting on a bus. But in either case, I think that's pretty much the only question I really had. I know she had portable toilets shown on that attachment twos, and it was in red, similar to your shelter. I wasn't sure that is the portable toilets for the art in the park.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Yeah, it kind of dawned on me after looking at it.
Yeah. So when you're looking at those different different site options with the art in the park overlay, the kind of that pink red line,
mm-hmm.
And any of those. Like boxes that have a number or the portable toilets, that's
strictly
a combination
for
of
art in the park
items. So you know, you had a couple of booths that were over here that could be moved over here, or in the yellow crosshatching, these are booths that are going to have to go away, and
yeah.
then you would have some of the transit improvements, the wider sidewalk, and the shelter area.
Oh.
So it's kind of a combination of those. But, yeah, the portable toilets are for the art in the park, not for
Yeah, I wasn't sure because I knew in the earlier part of the staff report you spoke about trying to provide facilities for the drivers and a break room and all these things, but I never saw it.
Yeah.
Physically shown or put
yeah.
in the...
Yeah, and in the report, so right now the driver break area where they had that physical separation from the public, where they can have a break, where they can use a restroom without being followed into the restroom by a passenger, it occurs at the community center. And
wow.
so in our short-range transit plan that's being developed that will be coming to you, I think it's next month we'll be bringing that to you for review, they did note in there that it would be preferred to have that break area happen here at City Park because it is a transition point between the local system and the regional system. And
how long do they hang? I got to ask, how long does the bus shut down to?
Well, the regional system used to have a layover at this site for about 15 or 20 minutes, but they redesigned their schedule, and they now no longer do their layover here. They do it elsewhere along their route.
I see.
So they come in, and they're maybe stopped for 5 minutes would be the most, but I'm thinking it's just a couple of minutes to have that transition between if there was anyone on the regional system wanting to get on the local system or vice versa, or transferring between their Route 15 that heads north towards San Simeon or their Route 12.
So it was prudent to go ahead and drop the break room side of it on the fact they're not here long enough to actually make use?
Well, they could if we, you know, if they're always looking, and we're looking at modifying our route timing so that right now RTA, they go out to Los Osos, they come back to City Park, and then they go to SLO. So they're back at City Park two times, whereas we're only there one time in for one of our loops. So we're kind of sort of in the middle of when they go to Los Osos or when they go to SLO, and so that can be a lengthy wait for a passenger. It's either like a half an hour or sometimes it's a 40-minute wait, depending on which direction they're going. And so when you see the short-range transit plan, one of the ideas is to modify our route so that we're kind of almost doing this figure eight where we come into the north and then we stop at City Park and then we do our south loop and we come back to City Park so that we're trying to catch those, shorten that time,
in-between
time to do that transfer to the regional system. That helps eliminate a barrier that somebody may have that doesn't ride right now because it's too long. So if you're able to shorten that, you might be able to get more passengers to start riding both. So the timing, as far as the break area, I think the consultant was recommending that as a location because that's where all the transit agencies are and services are meeting up. It doesn't necessarily have to be there, but I can understand why the idea for that.
Sure.
And
it could be a future phase if the need arises.
But it also needs to be evaluated a little bit more. What would happen is you would see a larger encroachment into the park area and that footprint, and that could impact the park area. It could impact the art in the park area. And then depending on what happens on that very far west side with the playground and the existing public restrooms, and then on the other side where the shuffleboard court and some picnic tables are, that would cut into that area as well. So it all, we're having to share multiple uses, and so we just sort of felt that at this time, one, for that, and two, for the amount of funding, because as you can see, there's quite a cost difference when you're adding that component to it, because you're actually building kind of more of a building, not kind of your traditional transit shelter that you see generally.
Okay, thank you, Janine.
So that's why we were pulling that aspect out of it for this part of the project.
Okay, thank you. No further questions up here. I'm going to go ahead and turn it over for the public. If you do wish to come up and speak, be sure and sign your name to the paper when you come up.
Do I have to turn this on? Doesn't look like it.
No,
I'm Steve Powers. I'm art show director for Art in the Park. And I want to thank Janine. We've been going over this for several months, and we appreciate Mr. Collins and Pamela Newman for working with us. As far as the footprint that we had on the park, we're definitely supportive of the existing site. There'll be no impact at all to Art in the Park, and we sincerely appreciate you guys listening to everything and hope that you also recommend that we go with the existing site. Thank you so much for your time.
Okay, thank you. Do you wish to speak?
Hi, I'm Patricia Newton, and I also would like to just say thank you very much for your time. I would like to thank Janine Burlingame for all the work that she's done with us. It means a lot to us. I represent over 300 members at Morro Bay Art Association, and Art in the Park actually is where we derive a lot of the funding for the gallery. So all the funding that we derive as a nonprofit, of course, pretty much goes right back into the community. So it's a big issue for us. And for them to spend their time, including Scott Collins, it really meant a lot. Thank you so much.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much.
And we do also support the existing
Location,
yeah, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, I'm going to bring it back up here to the board and close any further public input. I'll start with you, Stu. Do you, what they're asking, well, let me go through it a second. What they're asking is review and accept the study, pick the existing option. This is the recommendation of staff, and then direct staff to pursue the transportation grant. So that's what we're going to be voting on today. And I guess the question is, do you have any concerns about the existing location that you see a better? That's what I'm trying to look for right now.
Yeah, and as far as location, the location looks 100% to me. I think putting the buses in on the angle would be a better solution to it, because I had assumed that they can back up a little bit and then turn the wheel left and pull out without any issue there. And that way they'll...
I didn't catch it being on an angle, did
I? The angle is not what's being recommended. It was evaluated as part of the study to see if there was enough space to, because basically what you're able to do is you just pull in and you pull out. You don't have to do any... You don't back up at all. You don't have a situation where you're kind of like this and having to kind of pull in at an angle. You're kind of eliminating that. But we just didn't have the width of the street area in order to be able to do that and then have the sidewalk width that we need to address the ADA issues without really cutting into the park quite a bit.
The other thing, Stu, it's right at the fire station. Last thing you want to do is have a bus halfway sticking out in the street when they're coming out.
That's probably true. And if the buses do end up being electric and they need to plug in with something, so there's going to be some sort of a plug or something there for the driver or somebody to get out and plug it in, since they've come from slow or wherever they've come from,
But you're looking at parallel parking along the curb the same way you do now.
Yes, as existing.
And we've got enough space in that parallel parking to get in, was it 5 buses?
I think it was 4 at peak time.
Some are really short. Some of these things are more like vans and they go up.
Yeah, like our cutaway buses are smaller than the regional buses. Right. And Our trolleys are in between the regional bus size and our cutaways. So what they did was they looked at, okay, what vehicles are going to be there, what are the lengths of those vehicles, including not just the vehicle itself, but a lot of us have on the front or on the front and the back, we have bike racks, and so that adds additional space. And then you need some space in between and space for pulling in and pulling out. So they came up with a calculation of how much linear feet that they would need and then determined that we would need one parking space or to extend out into one parking space that we currently don't extend out into in order to accommodate that.
Okay, and then they'd pull up and then turn their engine off until they're loaded, and then
sometimes they don't turn.
They don't turn off the buses. They don't turn the engines off. So they will pull up. So what will happen is that the first vehicle pulls up to the front, and then the second vehicle, if there's a second vehicle coming in at the same time, it just pulls up behind it.
Okay, is that it?
That's
okay,
it.
Okay, John.
You answered the primary questions I had.
No, okay.
You answered the primary questions I had.
Oh, okay, Tori?
No, I have no questions. I would accept the plan. I am in favor of the existing site, and I encourage the staff to pursue the transportation grant.
Well, my feelings are that I go along 100% with the recommendations, especially in light of the fact that the building isn't going to try to house 30 people, because that'd be a fairly large building, you know. And I was a little concerned about that, because would you have to lock it up at night? Would it become an undesirable use somewhere around midnight? You know, these kind of things that happen around City Park, because it is one of the places where a lot coming into town congregate. And, you know, for that reason, I was a little concerned about a large facility that was open 24/7, so to speak. In either case, it sounds like everybody's pretty much on board. Why don't we put it to a vote to accept the recommendations of the staff? If somebody give me a motion.
I motion that we accept the recommendations of the staff.
And I'll second that motion.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay. Let's see, what do we have? Go back to the beginning. Okay, any future agenda items you have, Rob?
As Janine mentioned, the short-range transit plan will be coming back to you along with the, once we get moving on the pavement management plan, the street assessment, and the recommended streets. Also, later on in the year, we'll likely be looking at capital projects for next year's budget. So take a earlier look than we have in previous years at those recommended capital projects.
Oh, okay. And I was asked by Mr. Skiff, he would like to bring up an announcement at the end of the meeting. Okay.
We're at the end. Good.
Yes, sir.
And unfortunately, I'm going to have to turn in a letter of resignation. And it's been a good ride with Rob and the rest of you. Terrific staff. It's amazing what we've done. It's been a pleasure working with all of you and other members of the PWOB board, some that aren't here. And it's my belief that many objectives have been achieved during the time we've been here and been doing things. And it's really heartening to see that the funding keeps going down in numbers, so that makes it easier for to move into our wastewater treatment project, which is, I believe, is sorely needed. And it's my belief that other issues also still need to be addressed in this city. And part of it is paving the rock. That quagmire we have in the fall and winter time out there is really something, and there should be a way to work it out so that we can get some pavement out there, so that people aren't. I almost broke a shock on my car out there going across the pavement. And we also need to improve the traffic flow. We need to do something to get some buses and get maybe another route back up to the city. That needs to be done. There's a vista view on the west side of the rock that could be utilized, much like they've done at the Grand Canyon. And the Selenian Indian tribe is involved in the rock, I assume. And he's putting something up there and maybe having an elevator or something that gets people up there for a certain amount. Maybe that would fund the rock or fund the traffic. I'd like to see PWOB elevated to Public Works Commission. And so that because the city council here seems to be all they can possibly do till 11 or 12 or midnight or you know how long it's been going on. And there's a lot of decisions to be made by the city council. And some of those decisions could be made by the Public Works Commission, much like when I was in Folsom many years ago. That's what we were a commission. And the council could always override us, but they seldom did. But we'd take a look at it and so on. And everybody works hard in doing that. I think that in looking at the Embarcadero and some of the other facilities, it needs to be one way. There needs to be some thought organized to make that traffic flow better down there. And lastly, Morro Bay could be an ISO, independent systems operator. And I understand there's a movement in that direction. And we've got all this power that's going to be generated out there in the ocean that we could pull in here and make Morro Bay an independent systems operator. Oh my gosh, that would give us revenue to fund many, many different projects. So that's kind of what I wish. And my wife and I are going to move to the next chapter of our life, and she's having trouble with mobility and so on, and we're in a two-story house that overlooks the ocean over here, and it's just, it's more than we can handle right now. So we put our house on the market today, as a matter of fact, and we're going to sell it and move on. But it's really been good working with Mr. Livick. His head's up at a good baritone. And the rest of the city staff, you're all wonderful people, much better than what I've had before. And we very seldom have any disputes or arguments, but there's other things that need to be done and moving forward, and you're going the right direction. So that's all I have to say.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Skiff, and we're really going to miss you. I hope it all works out well for you.
Yeah.
With that, I'm going to go ahead and adjourn the meeting till the next month. I don't think we have a date on it yet. Is that correct? I didn't see it on the staff.
It will be the 18th of September.
Oh, okay. So we'll adjourn to the meeting of September 18th. Thank you, Morro Bay. Thank you, staff. Thank you, members.